The day that we've all been waiting for is finally time. The NBA draft is now upon us tonight. What's going to happen? Are any of the rumors that we've heard going to end up coming true? Who will the Pistons select at 5? Could they possibly trade back, trade forward? What's going to happen? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our way to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On. We're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. And just to let you guys know, tonight, the NBA Draft Show is not enough for Locked On. Every show is going to go live on draft night. So join me 15 minutes after the Pistons make their pick over at the Locked On Pistons YouTube channel for the immediate reaction from your local expert. Subscribe now to Locked On Pistons podcast so you know that when we go live. Now, it will be probably like I still have to go live with Locked On themselves. So it'll probably be a little bit like 10 to 15 minutes right after the pick. I'll be going live right after then. We can all sit down, talk about kind of like what we did with the draft lottery. It's going to be some fun. So make sure you guys come tune in. But draft day today, man, we're going to be talking about what we think is going to happen, what rumors we think actually could become true, which ones we think are false. And I was able to bring on friend of the podcast, Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast. Bryce, are you excited, man?
I'm excited, man. It's finally here. We've counted down the days. It seems it kind of sneaks up on you, right? It's like 2 months away, 3 months away. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, it's tonight. Like we finally get to see who the Pistons are going to select. Maybe more than one select. Well, definitely. I mean, assuming they get the second round, but maybe more than one first round pick. Is Jeremy Grant going to get moved? Who are they taking at 5? Like, who's going to go number? Even outside of the Pistons coup, like, do we know who's going number one? I don't think we do. So, the whole night's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited for it.
So I said that yesterday on Twitter. I think my main – and now we're going to make our predictions in this first segment, everybody. But I said that my main prediction basically is draft night's going to be hectic because from everything I've heard and all the reports that have come out nationally, all this stuff, it sounds like that no one really knows what's going to happen. And there's so many trades that possibly could happen with so many different teams interested in this pick, some teams being interested in a prospect that many didn't think were going to go as high as they were. Like I think it's going to be crazy on draft night. I don't know if we're going to have I can't remember the last draft. I think we're going to have as much fun as tonight, not just as Pistons fans, but as NBA fans. I think there's going to be so much stuff that happens. That's my prediction.
Absolutely. And listening to Key Smith, I know he's a friend of yours. He's come on the Pistons Pulse before. Listen to their podcast with Trevor Lane, the front office show. They call it the year of the trade. Like they are adamant that there's going to be a ton of trades. Yep. And Keith is as locked in as anybody with this type of stuff. So I don't think it's all talk. I think there's going to be a lot of movement. And we haven't seen much, but like two trades so far, the Jamichael Green to Oklahoma City and the Christian Wood to Dallas are about the only two major moves. I don't know that Jermichael Green is a major move, but the only two moves we've seen so far. So I guess all the GMs are saving it for tonight.
Yep. So let's go ahead and get into our predictions now. First prediction, obviously, we'll start with, you know, the one everyone wants to know. Who's going to be the pick at 5? Now, who knows if the Pistons even stay at 5? We'll talk about that later in the podcast. But assuming everything stays the same and the Pistons pick at 5, who will they be picking? Who do you want them to – okay, you know what? We'll split it up. Who do you want them to pick? And then who do you think will be the pick? I know we're – I think everyone knows where we're going to go with this. But I'll let Bryce go first. I'll let him read his defense of who he's going
to
want.
Okay, so I have three different answers to this. We talked about it before the show. I became the Benedict Mathurin guy. I didn't even intend to, but I'll wear it because I do love him. So my favorite pick, the guy I would be most excited about just because I enjoy watching him play and I do think he's really good is Benedict Mathurin. With that said, the guy I absolutely want them to take is Jaden Ivey. I actually do have Jaden Ivey slightly higher than Benedict Mathurin for the Pistons. And the guy I think they're going to take is Keegan Murray.
All right. So my prediction is, okay, well, who I'd want them to take at 5, you guys have already, I've told you guys this many times. I feel like I'm in the very tiny minority of this. But I want Shaedon Sharpe at 5. I think Shaedon Sharpe at this point in the build, I've laid out the argument multiple times in the podcast, but just to give a little brief summary, I feel like you can get a Keegan Murray in free agency. You can get some of these other guys in a free agency. What the Pistons will struggle with is getting a star in free agency, getting those type of players. And I feel like Shaedon Sharpe has the potential to be that star. I feel like he's the one guy, and you've seen people say it before, he has the potential in 3-4 years from now to be like, oh, he was the best player in the draft class. But also, apparently, he also has that in 3 to 4 years. You're like, definitely shouldn't have taken him that high kind of thing. So I feel like at this point in this draft and what people are considering a quote-unquote weak draft somewhat, and where the Pistons are in their rebuild, if they take Shaedon Sharpe and he just sucks his first year, and let's say he doesn't become nothing, the Pistons team probably isn't that good. They get a top pick again next year. Maybe they get Victor Rebin. I can't say his last name.
Wembanyama.
There you go. Maybe they get a chance at him. But there's other guys, too. There's, what was his name, Scoot Henderson?
Henderson played with the G League Ignite. Yep.
Yep, and there's a ton of...
I think Brothers or something. I haven't done a lot on 2023. I just know some of the names.
Yeah, 2023 is supposed to be a really tremendous class. So if they flame out in this year's class, they're going to be right at the top of next year's class, and that's where they could really get another blue-chip prospect. So I feel like it's kind of a – even if he flops his first year, you're still getting something out of it the next year in that scenario. So that's what I want them to pick. I think if they stay at 5, I do agree with Bryce. I think they take Keegan Murray. But that depends on, like, what happens before them. Yep. Who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be crazy. So I want them to get Shaedon Sharpe. I understand I'm in the minority with that. I think they'll take Keegan Murray, but I also think I'm assuming Jaden Ivey's gone. I think there's other guys who are just in play as Keegan Murray, wink, wink, elbow, nudge, nudge. Keegan Murray, Benedict Mather, and Dyson Daniels. I think all three of those guys are in play for the Pistons at 5. I wouldn't be shocked if they picked any of those guys, but I'm leaning towards Keegan Murray right now.
Yeah, I think so as well. Would you take Sharp over Ivy if Ivy was there at number 5? Like, are you pretty much Sharp? So you would take Sharp unless one of the big three falls, which I know we'll talk about some crazy scenarios a little bit later where that might happen. I will say Shaedon Sharpe is the number 4 guy. So, like, you know, I said Ivy and then Benedict Mather and Murray. If they take Shaedon Sharpe, I'm fine with it. I would be excited about it. I think for me, like, selfishly, I haven't been able to dive into the film and, like, scout him the way I have these other guys. So I think just selfishly, I don't get as excited about that because I don't know as much about him. He's such a mystery box, and I'm not as good evaluating this high school, this EYBL film as, like, the college tape and G League Ignite stuff. So I think just selfishly, I wouldn't be as excited as that. But I do think, you know, he would be an intriguing prospect, and it would definitely send the Pistons down a different road. Would you agree with that for this offseason, right? Like, now you're probably not going all in on free agency because you're still another year or two away as Shaedon Sharpe develops.
Yep, I agree with that. We've talked about that many times in the podcast. What they decide, I know Troy Weaver said a few days ago in his media availability that we're not going to let the pick dictate what we do the rest of the offseason. BS. I'm calling pure BS on that. Whoever they pick in this draft, I think definitely will have an impact on what they do this offseason. I don't believe for a second that he's telling the truth with that.
You can still sign DeAndre Ayton because he's young. Like, he would still fit the quote-unquote timeline. But you may not make some other win-now moves because of that. Because if you draft Keegan Murray, he's going to come in. He's going to be ready to play right away. I think the same about mid and Nick Mathurin. Not that those guys won't have growing pains, but I do think Shaedon Sharpe, Laz Jackson over at Detroit Bad Boys outlined this. You know, even those guys that turned out really good that came right out of high school, a lot of them struggled a little bit in their rookie year. And Shaedon hasn't played for a long time. So I think we're going to have to be very patient. As you know, this fan base is very good at that.
Tremendous at it.
I'm not good at it. Like, I'm sitting here calling myself out. I'm not going to be good at it. But I think we'll have to tell ourselves to be patient if it is Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, and one of the main comparisons that he's gotten is Anthony Simons. I think he went to prep school. He didn't go to college. He went to prep school or whatever. And then he struggled for, like, the first 2 years of his career. Yes. Now you saw him explode last season. So it is a process. But either way, I don't think Shaedon Sharpe's in play at all for 5. I don't think he is, but that's just who I'd pick. I got Keegan Murray as the likely one, and then right behind him I got Mathurin and then Dyson Daniels. But that's where I'm at with it. Anything else you want to add on with that?
Dyson Daniels is intriguing. He's an interesting prospect. I do think it would be interesting if he came because I see a lot of similarities with Killian Hayes. Not that you can't have both of them on the roster, but eventually one of those guys is going to have to be able to shoot. I think those two would terrorize opposing teams defensively, like them on the defensive end, because both of those guys can really guard. It would just be interesting long term how they would be able to play off of each other, because there are a lot of similar strengths and weaknesses between those two players.
Yep, fair enough. We'll see what happens tonight. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's going to be interesting if they even stay at five. But now, when we come back, will they be staying at five? Do we think Jeremy Grant will be traded? What other trades do we think possibly could be made? What do we think is going to happen ahead of the Pistons? We'll start giving our predictions for everything, our stone-cold predictions. There's no way we can go back on it. It's the day of the draft. We're going to give all our predictions the rest of the podcast, so stay tuned. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Arcade 1UP. We have big news. The one, the only, NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they've made it bigger than ever before with the Wait For It Shaq Edition machine. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They got even more classics like Golden Tee, my favorite. I played this all the time growing up with my cousins, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $399. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th to enter to win an NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? One Arcade 1UP. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our way to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On with the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. I would really appreciate it. All right, Bryce. So going back to Arcade 1UP real quick, I just got to ask you something. Did you play Mortal Kombat growing up at all?
A couple times.
Did you play the NBA Jam game?
A little bit. Like, I was like, I like just played Madden, college football. Like, I would like play the dynasty mode, play every single game, like all that stuff. I didn't get into some of those other games quite as much. Like, I played like as close to real life, I guess, as I possibly could.
Fair enough. That I played those too, but you, man, you gotta get into that Mortal Kombat, man. I can't believe you didn't play Mortal Kombat, dude. That's crazy.
No, I played some Duck Hunt. You ever played Duck Hunt?
on the NES.
Yeah, you had the little like that was high tech stuff back in my day, man. You don't know, you guys don't understand what we used to have to play. Like, there were just little dots on the screen. It didn't even look like anything.
My mom, I used to play that all the time with my mom. Anyway, let's get it.
You told me I looked younger, and then you make an old joke.
My mom's not that old. She's 42, I think. She's 42.
Yeah, so, young.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so anyways, let's continue our prediction. So we talked about what we think is going to be the selection, who's going to be the selection at five. Now, Bryce, do you think the Pistons will be selecting at five? This is now, mind you, these people who are listening right now are going to hold you to this. This is literally going to be posted right before the draft. So there's no way, there's no going back on it on Twitter and being like, you know, I don't know. They are going to hold you this. So do you think the Pistons will be making their pick at five?
Yes, I do. I think they're going to stay at five. That would be my prediction. I'm comfortable with that. I'll be comfortable if I'm wrong. Obviously, some things could change, something unforeseen. But if I had to put a significant amount of money to me on a bet where the Pistons make their first selection tonight, I would say at number five.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting. They definitely could not be picking at five. They could do a ton of stuff, man. There's been so many things that have been thrown around and being said behind. It's crazy. I really do think it's going to be hectic tonight, even if it's not including the Pistons. But that doesn't mean all those things are likely. Rumors are always flying around this time of year. It's just a lot of it's just a bunch of fun. But at the end of the day, I do think that the Pistons will be selecting five. I think some teams ahead of them could be moving around. I think some teams directly behind them could be moving around. But if, like you said, if I had to put a significant amount of money on something, I do think that the Pistons are the one team that probably stays where they're at. Because I think in a lot, there's certainly scenarios where they can move up. And it would help them. And there's some scenarios where I can see where they move back. But I think the Pistons, out of all the teams, it seems like that, like if the Kings move or someone ahead of them takes someone different, or if someone behind them moves up, they're probably going to end up with a guy they want anyways at five. Like, they don't need to move up to get a guy that they want, apparently. So I think they're the one team that's in that kind of position right now. So if I had to take a bet, yeah, I would say they're at five.
Yeah, because I don't think you move up to number four for Jaden Ivey. Like, you just sit there, and if the Kings or somebody jumps over you and takes Jaden Ivey, then you take Keegan Murray or Benedict Mathurin or Shaden Sharp or whatever, and you feel completely fine walking out of the draft with that. Now, do you agree with that? And then would you move up if something crazy, crazy happened and one of the big three was falling to number four?
Well, I completely agree. I would not move up for Jaden Ivey.
Okay.
If Jaden Ivey was there for, I don't move up. I don't think he's a good enough prospect for you to just, because in order to move up, Sacramento sounds like they're asking for a lot just to be able to move up to four. So this is just assuming that Jeremy and five would even get you to four. I don't think you do that for just one spot up to get Jaden Ivey. Now, like you said, if something crazy happens and let's say OKC takes Jaden Ivey too, now one of the bigs fall to four. Yes, I would then move up. I would try to move up to four and get whoever, whether it's Paolo. I know Chet apparently is withholding. I know the
medicals, right? He's withholding medicals from some teams. We may not know specifically what teams, but I feel like that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's been conflicting reports, because I know a few days ago they said he was withholding information from OKC in Orlando. Then yesterday, Woj said, I believe that Chet's camp said, no, we have given them the medical information. Then today, there's another Bleacher Report report that came out and said, no, the OKC Thunder and the Magic have not got his medicals, and he's not giving them out. So it's a bunch of conflicting things happening. So I don't know if that causes him to slip. Whether it's Chet, Paolo, I don't think Jabari slipped. I think Jabari 100% is gone. But if one of those two guys fall, I definitely think the Pistons should move up to four and do it. But outside of that, I don't see them moving up.
You think that's Jeremy Grant? You think that's what it's going to take to do that? And would there be anything in return? I know the one trade that seems to float around a lot is like Rashawn Holmes ends up coming back. I don't know the Kings salary cap situation off my head. So maybe that's just a salary match type of situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Pistons don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, I mean, like, for Paolo, man, I would do that. But I love Paolo Banchero. I think he's the number one
player. Oh, I love him, too.
And I think he's a perfect fit with Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons. He'd slide right into that four spot vacated by Jeremy Grant. I think he's good enough and going to be better enough than these other guys that I think I would be willing to do that.
No, yeah, I'd do the same thing. I think – for one, yeah, it is to match contracts for the Kings. The Kings can't just absorb Jeremy's contract. So I think that's where that's coming from. I don't know if that would even be it. I hope that would be enough in that scenario of when the bigs fell and the Pistons want to move up, because they would be getting Jeremy, and then they'd still be able to get Keegan Murray, who apparently they're extremely high on, who's had dinner with their owner, their star players. They're going all out. So it sounds like they really want him. They'll be able to get Jeremy moved back one spot and get Keegan. They're trying to move for the playoffs this year, so I think that would help them a lot. But I don't know. I know that there was another report that, like, a few days ago that said that they were asking Pacers, I think, for like Brogdon and two first-round picks just to go to four, and the Pacers were like, no, hell no. So I don't know.
You guys did that in the Locked On draft. I listened to that the other day where I heard you take Shaden Sharp, but the Kings and Pacers Locked On host said worked out a deal for four and six. So I thought that was interesting. That seems like a realistic jump there for the Pacers to go get Jaden Ivey.
Yeah, I could see it happening for sure. All right, so I'm trying to figure out when I throw this one out at you, because this one I feel like we're going to talk a while about. Uh-oh. But I don't want to, like, have to cut in between segments, you feel me? But all right, so I guess I'll just go ahead and ask it now. Bryce, this is the question I feel like everyone that's been dominating the Pistons summer. Does Jeremy Grant get traded tomorrow night?
Okay, so it's funny. I was just writing out
tonight. When you guys listen, it'll be tonight.
I was just writing this out. So the one that really I don't think either of us think Jeremy Grant gets traded for number seven, right? For the Blazers. But the scenario that's been going around is what? Dort and 12 to the Blazers for seven. And then the Blazers taking 12 and trading that to Detroit for Jeremy Grant. So essentially the Blazers get Lou Dort and Jeremy Grant. OKC moves up to number seven. And the Pistons get 12 for Jeremy Grant. I don't know. To me, I like that one. I don't know if there's a side of that that I'm not looking at. Obviously, I usually look at it from the Pistons side. But I think number 12 is great value for Jeremy Grant. And I think, depending on how the draft shakes out, that would end up, they would end up being a guy left there that I would like.
So I think we actually talked about this on the podcast, not the Portland getting 12, which it's basically going to be the same thing. I like that. I think we talked about on the podcast that if OKC wanted to trade 12 to Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I would be okay with that and try to get like Mark Williams or Jalen Duren and, yes, and let them be like your big guy.
Duren's the name that came to my mind right here. Yeah,
absolutely. That's who I'd want at that point. But I feel like there's like some other things that would have to be like going on at the same time for that to really like, do I want to say all this right now? Do I want to go get the ad break first? You know what? Put a pin it right there. We're going to go to the ad break real quick because this is going to, this third segment, I'm letting you guys know this is going to go for a minute. So be ready. Put a pin in it. We come back. But first, you guys have to hear from some of our sponsors. All right. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. You guys get all of that. But anyways, let's get back to what we were just talking about. I really want to talk about that. So if the Pistons did trade Jeremy for 12, I would like that. But tell me if you agree with this. If they did trade Jeremy for 12, that means that Keegan Murray was probably the pick, right? Would you agree with that?
So I've had this discussion the last couple of days. It's really hard to see a world. I don't think you have to fit the roster out perfectly right away, but it does seem like if you're going to trade Jeremy Grant for a pick, that Keegan Murray probably ends up being number 5. I don't think you have to, because personally, I think you can play Sadiq Bey at the 4. But it does seem like that's probably where Troy Weaver would go, because there's not a whole lot of other options there, like Marvin Bagley the 3rd. But again, I don't know where you're at with this. I don't think he's a starter for team. But maybe they do see him as one.
Well, I mean, if they did, like it's – I'm at the point. I'm in the camp that if they do trade Jeremy for a pick tomorrow, I think it has to mean that Murray was the pick at 5. So unless they do like what we just talked about, the 5 and 5 and Jeremy go up to 4 or something and get like one of the bigs. But I feel like if you trade Jeremy, you're getting Keegan because he literally just slides right into that. And then if let's just talk about that hypothetical you just talked about, like if they see Marvin Bagley as like a starting power forward, like can you really get? Can you really start Bagley and Duren next to each other, or Bagley and Stewart next to each other? Like you're going to, the spacing that they had last year were, I mean, I've talked about this in the podcast multiple times, their offense. I don't think people truly understand. Like I've tried to hammer this point home, like all off season, but I really don't think people truly understand how historically awful the Pistons offense was last year. Like it wasn't just bad, like compared to like normal times. Like it was historically awful this past season. Like, let me just throw some of these numbers out to you, Bryce. I'm sure you've probably seen some of these already, but I'm just going to throw it out for you and some of the people that may have not heard it on a recent podcast. Spot up opportunities. They were 27th in the NBA. Pick and roll ball handler, 29, which definitely has a little bit to do with who was setting the screens and how much pressure was being put on the rim by those setting the screens. In isolation, they were 30th. And then in all jump shots, 29th. Runners, 30th. Around the basket, 29th. Catch and shoot, 29th. Unguarded catch and shoots, 28th. All jump shots off the dribble, 29th. So their offense, they had no spacing. They had no pressure on the rim, but really just spacing. They just had zero. So I refuse to believe that the Pistons would, or Troy Weaver would be willing to then go into a season with Bagley and like another like Stu or like a Duren or something at your 4 or 5. I feel like you're just setting your team up to have the same problems as the previous year. Do you agree with that? Or
yeah, so I think the only way like Duren and Marvin Bagley work without saying like, oh, one of them develops this jump shot, is you run like Duren and ball screen and roll and then put Bagley in the dunker spot. And you know, you got to hope the playmaking, the passing that Duren flashed at times in some games it looked really good, in other games it didn't, but you got to hope he's able to then pick, roll, screen, yeah, roll, and either, you know, finish or
like the Draymond rule for Golden State. The short
sort of
role.
Yeah. Or, you know, make that pass. And so that's where those two could work. You want shooting? How about this then? Let's have some fun here. Let's take, okay, Benedict Mathurin at number 5. And then let's take quite possibly the second best shooter in the draft at 12, AJ Griffin out of Duke.
Are you a believer in AJ Griffin? Cause I know a lot of people
at 12,
are really,
absolutely.
Okay, go ahead. You want to talk about him a little bit?
Look, I'm just at five. I don't have him in the mix at five. Now I know of some people that do, and it has to do with the athleticism. If his athleticism comes back to apparently what it was in high school before, I think it was a dislocated kneecap that kind of was lingering, and that's why he had a slow start at Duke. The kid can absolutely shoot it. I think he's actually a good off-ball defender, not very good on ball. But you want floor spacing, you got Cade with the ball, and then you want a space with Benedict Mathurin, Sadiq Bey, and AJ Griffin. Like, you're going to have floor spacing because all three of those guys can knock down shots.
And in that scenario, you'd be putting Sadiq at the four?
At the four, I do think AJ Griffin, like, he's a strong kid, Koo.
Yeah.
And so I do think he could play the three. You'd be a little bit undersized, but Cade's a good rebounder for his position. Benedict Mathurin is going to be a good rebounder for his position. And then obviously it depends on who you have at the five. If it's Isaiah Stewart, you know, obviously a good rebounder, not like, you know, insane, but a good rebounder. I think you could manage and you would be very switchable. Like, all those guys are almost the same heights, to be honest with you.
No, yeah, you'd be very switchable. I my concern, if you did that, I think they would have to get a bigger center. It doesn't have to be like some 7 foot, like three guy or something. I'm not saying that, but yeah. If you're gonna have that, if you want that switchability across the board, I get it. But then your I don't think that you can then have your tallest player on the floor be what's Isaiah Stewart, like 6'8", maybe, like he might be like 6'8", 6'9".
And you don't have a lot of rim protection either, because Sadiq Bey's not doing it. I don't think AJ Griffin could, again, if the athleticism comes back. But Jeremy Grant is a good rim protector for his position. Would you agree with that? Like, I think as a weak side
when he's engaged, yes.
Fair enough. Okay, so that would be an issue in terms of protecting the paint in that way. But I think Cade can guard well enough. Benedict can guard well enough. Stu can guard well enough. The Sadiq, it depends on what he got switched to. And then AJ Griffin would be the weak link in terms of on-ball defense.
All right, so don't worry, listeners. I didn't forget. I'm not gonna let Bryce get away with this. I'm not gonna let Bryce get away. Don't worry, Bryce. That was all a great scenario. I'd be all for it. But the question was, do you believe that Jeremy will be traded tonight?
Oh, my bad.
Do you think that he'll be traded tonight?
No.
Fair enough. Why? Give an explanation.
I don't know. Like, my gut just says, like, we've been talking about it for too long. That's just not gonna happen. Like, We've talked about this trade and that trade, and it was going to be at the deadline. Is like, my gut just tells me he's going to still be on the Pistons at least through the draft. Maybe he ends up in an eight and sign and trade. Maybe there's something else that happens. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying not to get my hopes up. Like, I'm preparing for Keegan Murray and no other first round picks. And then that way, when they do the situation I just outlined, I can be juiced about it. But I always like to preface it. If I had to bet a significant amount of money to me, I would probably put my money on he's still a Detroit Piston at the end of tonight.
All right. So, guys, I'm about to go on a little bit of a rant right here.
Let's do it.
And I want Bryce to react to this. I want Bryce's reaction. This will be I'm going to tell you guys this right now. If this podcast gets released and Jeremy Grant is not traded on draft night, now, he could get traded still throughout the offseason, possibly. But if he's not traded on draft night, I'm telling you guys this now. I promise you guys that you guys will not get another rant like this about Jeremy ever again. No, absolutely not. hell no. Bryce, for those of you guys listening on the podcast, he's signaling that
I always forget there's a non-video version. I'm sorry, listeners. I apologize.
He's trying to signal that I would shave my head. Absolutely the hell not. No, couldn't happen. But this will be the last time, I promise, I'll go on a rant about Jeremy. We won't stop talking about Jeremy. We won't stop talking about reports that come out about Jeremy if he happens to be traded. But I'm not. This will be the last time you hear me rant about him. And Bryce, I want your react. Me and Bryce actually kind of talked about this a little bit last night. So we're going to talk about this real quick. I think he has to get traded on draft night. If he does not get traded on draft night, I think his value continues just to go worse. It just continues to get worse. It continues to go down. If they don't trade him on draft night, I'm getting close to being like extremely frustrated. I'm going to get like really mad. I'm like straight up just not disappointed, like straight up mad. And this is the rant I'm about to go on. Because a lot of you guys have been commenting in the comment section down below saying, Jeremy's a good player. Why do you want to get rid of him? He's a really good player. He's going to do that. A lot of you guys have been tweeting at me. Jeremy's a great player. He wanted to come here. Why do you want to get rid of him? You're such a hater, blah, blah. This is my final rant on him, and we're not going to rant about him ever again unless he's traded. And then I'm going to go like a celebratory rant kind of thing. But listen, I have never seen a player lip off of 18 games so much in my life. For those of you guys who think that Jeremy Grant is some fantastic player, let me read you guys some of these numbers, okay? Jeremy Grant, yes, he averaged 19 points per game last year. He shot 42% from the field on 15 shot attempts a game. He shot the last two seasons. So before he came to Detroit, his previous two seasons, he had shot 39% from deep. These past two seasons with Detroit, he shot 35% from deep. So his percentages went down 4 percentage points. Now, he has upticked his attempts per game by like 2.5 right now. But his percentage points has went down from three-point arc. Outside the first 18 games of his first season, where I went out and wrote an article and said that he was proving everyone wrong, including myself, and that he was great. Outside those first 18 games, he has been largely inefficient. He's taken terrible shots consistently. He has a true shooting percentage of 55 over the last two years, which isn't horrific, but it's not great for a guy with as much usage rate as he has, which is 28.5% usage rate with the Pistons. He turns the ball over a ton. He can't create for his teammates. And this past season, like, I know everyone has this idea that, oh, he's good on defense. Well, this past season, for the vast majority of this past season, he was not trying on defense for the past. Now, after he came back from the All-Star break, he seemed more engaged defensively, and he was playing much better after the All-Star break. But for the majority of the season, he was not trying on the defensive end. He just takes a ton of bad shots. He's inefficient. He can't create for his teammates. And whether you guys like this or not, I've heard from multiple people that there are teams across the league that believe that if Jeremy Grant gets this four-year, $115 million extension that he's looking for, he is overpaid. He will be looked at as overpaid. And he will quickly go from an asset for the Pistons to a borderline negative asset. Maybe not a flat-out negative one. Maybe he's still flippable, obviously. I think he'd still be tradable. But that whole idea that, oh, he's your best asset, that immediately, I feel like, goes away. Multiple teams would feel like he's an overpay at that contract value, which, if they don't trade him on draft night, I think a lot of people would then, unless he's trading in a DeAndre Ayton signing trade, probably means he might be getting extended. And if they, Bryce, I'm telling you right now, if they sign him to a four-year, $115 million contract, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I think he has to get traded tomorrow, because I think that's the last chance that he's going to have his value as high as it's possibly going to get. It's not that he's a terrible player, but there are a few teams already that feel like he's probably he's on the borderline of being overpaid right now. I've been told that already. And if he gets that four-year 115, I'm telling you, a hell of a lot more teams will feel like he's overpaid at that point. So it's not that he's trash. It's not that he's an awful player. But if you don't trade him tomorrow, what's going to come after that, I feel like we'll just – it's not good. It's not good at all. So that's my rant right there. I promise you guys, I know you guys hate those ones about Jeremy Grant. You guys love Jeremy Grant because he chose Detroit and all that little heart stuff that he gave you in the Athletic piece. I get it. But go ahead, Bryce. That's the last rant you guys will get from me. But go ahead.
Let's keep it going. Do you think Jeremy Grant is happy in Detroit?
I think he's happy to get the shots that he wants in Detroit, yes.
Okay. Would you rather the Pistons go into next season having given him that extension or him on an expiring contract? What do you think is – because I tend to understand what you're saying about the extension in terms of if all of a sudden he's making – what is the number? 4 for $115. So that's essentially almost $30 million,
yeah.
$29 million, something like that, a year. Like, that's going to be hard to trade and get much value. Would he be more valuable on an expiring contract? What would you rather go into this? If I told you Jeremy Grant is on the roster game one, would you rather it be on the four-year, $115 million extension or in the final year of his three-year and $60 million deal? Because now you have the chance of losing him for nothing.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's why you have to. That's why I'm saying you have to trade him tomorrow.
Don't worry, listeners. I'm not going to let him off the hook. Answer the question, Koo. Expiring or extension?
I have to say expiring. I'd have to. Because I'm serious. From what I've been told, now, again, I'm not saying this is fact. I'm not saying this is set in stone. Obviously, things can change, and maybe that's not complete. Maybe there's teams that don't believe this. But I'm telling you that I have been told that if he gets that contract, teams will start to look at him as he's overpaid. At least the teams I know, they will look at him as he's overpaid. So
that's a big contract for Jeremy.
It's a big contract. So if they get him on that contract, I'm not like, I don't think he's this incredible asset no more. Now he's like, it's going to be harder to move him. You're not going to get exactly what you want. Maybe you can. Again, I'm not saying it's for sure. Maybe you can. But if I had to make a prediction from what I understand, I'm not going to lie to you, Bryce. I almost would rather him leave for nothing than have that contract on the books for 4 years and be stuck with that.
You're not getting nothing for an expiring Jeremy Grant contract. Like, he's a quality NBA player who also would be expiring. Now, you're not going to get as much as maybe what you would if you traded him at last trade deadline, but you're not going to have to just let him walk. Like, you could still move him at the deadline and get some sort of assets in return, but whether we were all wrong about what we thought he was going to be worth, whether Troy has misjudged the market, you know, that's the one thing I did say when he didn't get moved at the deadline this past season was, yeah, everybody thinks he's going to be the hot name this offseason, but all of a sudden all these other names are going to become commodities as well. And I feel, I'm not saying I'm right or predicted anything, but I feel like that's happened a little bit. Like, he's not the name every single day we hear about like we were hearing at the trade deadline.
So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to leave it off with this. I just want to ask this question to you because this is what I've been told. I don't know if you've heard some of the same things, but this is what I've been told over the last few weeks and literally over the last few months. And those of you guys who have been listening to the podcast consistently, you guys will know that I've been hinting towards this. One of you guys actually have said the coup IQ is what I should call it. That's interesting. I might start calling it that. But
a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it's a nice ring. Feel me? All right. So Jeremy, from the read in the room is, it feels like Jeremy feels like he's came to Detroit and he's proven what he wanted to prove. And he feels like he's proven that he deserves more money on a contract. However, rival teams do not see it that way. Rival teams are looking at him and saying, yes, you've proven that you probably can do a little bit more, but you've been largely inefficient outside those first 18 games. If we acquire you, we don't want you doing that stuff. So if we're going to acquire you to not do that stuff and you're not even that great at it, why are we paying you almost $30 million a year for that? So that's what I've been like told, and that's what the read I've been given. Now, again, there may be a team that doesn't feel – there may be a team that gets desperate, hopefully, and maybe a team that feels differently, hopefully. But in that scenario, giving you all that, just tell me this. Do you believe that if you were the GM, you have to get him off the books tomorrow? Or do you still believe that – okay, I can still, even with all those things I laid out, I still feel comfortable going into the season. I think I'd rather take my chances as him as an expiring contract and then see if I can move him again at the deadline. I get both sides, but I think the one side that just can't happen, I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the one thing that just cannot happen, the Pistons cannot give him that 4-year $115 million. That cannot happen.
Yeah, that's a lot. So yes. I guess I was thinking more either he gets moved during the draft, or if you know the Ayton thing can possibly happen, obviously you save him for that. That's a whole nother episode, I'm sure. Hopefully we'll get to talk about it at some point. I was thinking that, or he just becomes a part of the long-term picture, but not at that contract.
Correct.
I would not give him that contract. If you get it below $100 million, I think we can start having a conversation because the salary cap's going to start going up. Now, all of a sudden, he's an asset that he's still an asset because it's a decent deal. Like, you're not going to get him 4 for $80 million, but if you could get him at 4 for $90 million or something like that, which would be what, $22.5 million a year or something like that. Like, okay, now you're reasonable and you could still move that. Or if he proves to work really well with whoever you acquire this offseason, you keep him on the books, and that's a really good number, but not for 28, 29, 30.
No, yeah. Okay, so let me Bryce talk some sense in me right there. I'll say that. If you can get him around there, like $22 million a year, I don't like watching Jeremy Grant, but I will not sit here and let my bias tell him, like, get in the way and be like, that would be a bad contract to have. Or if you want to keep him long-term at 22, that would be awful. I don't think that would be awful. So if you can get that, fine. But it doesn't sound like that's what Jeremy wants. Jeremy is looking for more money than that. So that's the thing. If you can get him around that number, then he doesn't have to be traded tomorrow night, I feel like. Then you can actually either you can keep him, or then he could probably maybe even have more value then at the deadline if he, you can give him around that number. But anything more than that, I feel like you have to move him at tomorrow's game or tomorrow's draft, and we'll see what happens. I obviously Troy Weaver knows this more than us. He knows what Jeremy's looking for. He knows what he will be able to get him for. So he has more intel than all of us. I'm just giving you what the information I've been relayed. And when I say you, I mean the listeners. But that's where I'm at, man. Where I'm at.
Can I ask you a non-Pistons thing that came across my phone as we were recording this?
What's up?
Kyrie to the Lakers. What is your instant reaction to
that?
Did that
just happen?
No, it didn't happen. But it
oh
just
my
like,
god, dude!
Oh, sorry. No, it was like a Bleacher Report, and then Basketball News. It showed up as well. Like what? I just feel like that would be the most Lakers and Kyrie thing. Like get Kyrie there, Russ, LeBron, AD. Like throw them all in there and let's see what happens.
I think it would be another year of hilarious basketball and hilarious content coming out of the Lakers organization. That's what I think.
I was right about two things. I don't know what I was right about with the Pistons, but I said the Lakers, Russ, and LeBron wasn't going to work. I was pretty – a lot of people saw that one. And then I was high on the Warriors coming into the season. Where I was wrong is because I thought, like, James Wiseman was going to have a role on that team, and obviously that didn't come to fruition at all. But the Lakers, man, like – LeBron's still good too, even at 50 yep. years old, whatever he is. He's losing some seasons because they're not putting the right guys around him. So it's going to be a wild offseason. Like Kyrie, if he really wants out of Brooklyn, then what's KD going to want to do? Like, man, it's going to be fun, and it all starts now. Like it gets going now. Free agency starts next week, man. This is
free agency
time.
Next week. We're going to immediately start transitioning into free agent stuff and rumors with that. It's going to be about to pick up, man. The season just ended, and it feels like season's still going on. Basically, it's crazy.
I know. That's what you kind of get lost how it's all supposed to work, you know, because COVID had thrown the schedule off. I think I saw a tweet that yesterday on Wednesday was actually 1 year ago when the Pistons won the lottery.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, you know, because the schedule was just so off based off how the, you know, the COVID and all that stuff. So finally getting back on the normal schedule. It's pretty much a year round thing, man. Finals ends, off season begins, summer league is coming up soon. I'll be out in Vegas, and we got to get you out there one of these years, man.
I'd love to go this year, but I got
you had a wedding and a hunt. You do your thing, okay? You do your thing. Megan gets it this year. You tell Megan you guys are coming to Vegas for your 1 year anniversary next year.
Fair enough. That would
it won't quite be 1 year, but it'd be close enough.
Fair enough. All right, so we'll end the podcast there. End it with what our predictions were. Both of us believe Keegan Murray would be the pick. Bryce, you said that you think Jane Ivey should be the pick. You would pick Jane Ivey if he was there.
Benedict Mathurin is just my favorite, you know, like the guy I would love for them to take. But my order would be Ivey, Math, Murray. I think Murray's going to end up who they take because Ivey goes at 4.
Okay. And then mine is I'd take Shane Sharp. I don't think he's actually in play, though. I think he will pick Murray. And then after him, I'd like Mathurin. And if Ivy's there, I do think he would be the pick then if he's there at 5. Outside of that, I think that Jeremy Grant has to be moved tomorrow. Actually, I don't think I answered the question if he will be moved tomorrow. I think he would be moved tomorrow. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets moved before the draft actually starts. Or not tomorrow. When you guys listen to this, it'll be tonight. I think there's a chance he could be moved even before the draft officially starts. I do think it will happen. Bryce says he doesn't think it will happen. And then the final segment of me ranting, he has to be moved. If that four-year 115 still in play, he has to go. He just has to. Before
Weaver ain't giving him that. Weaver is not giving him that.
Well, people didn't think he was giving him, what was it, the three-year 60, right? No, the people didn't think he would get that. So was it 3 years 60? 3 years 60,
yeah.
Right?
People
didn't think he would get that. People were laughing at Weaver when he did that. So, I mean, who knows? He likes Jeremy. So, we'll see what happens, man.
All right.
We're trying to have some – we're going to have some fun tonight, man. We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
Make sure you guys are checking out the channel right after, like 10 to 15 minutes after they make the pick. I will be going live over here. We'll discuss. We'll give our live reactions. We'll have some fun there. Thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. hit that subscribe button. Make sure you guys are going and checking out Bryce's podcast with Omari Sankofa II of the Detroit Free Press, the Pistons Pulse podcast. Great stuff over there once a week, every Tuesday, correct?
Yep, every Tuesday, and we will have a special episode dropping Friday morning. So after you listen to Locked On Pistons, make sure you check out the Pistons Pulse, just a short 20-30 minute episode. So plenty of time to get in both on Friday morning.
Definitely. Absolutely. They do great stuff over there. You guys should definitely be making them a part of your daily listen with us. But until next time, man, hopefully when I talk to you guys, we're all smiling, we're all happy, and a pick that was made has us all feeling good.
I'm worried about my blood pressure. I'm worried about yours, too, man. I'm worried about your blood pressure right now. So let's hope that it's all calm and chill, yep, and we can go to bed happy on Thursday night.
Exactly. We're crossing fingers. We're hoping, man. I'll see you guys later, man. Stay safe and enjoy the draft, man.